Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're looking at overmolding.
Overmolding.
Pretty cool stuff, you know. It's how you get that comfy grip on your favorite tool or that soft touch finish on like a, you know, remote control or something.
Right.
So basically, it's molding one material over another.
Mm-hmm.
And you send in a ton of great sources about this manufacturing guides,
yeah.
infographics. We even got some expert opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're going to really dig into all of it so you can understand how to spot a quality overmolded product.
It's more than just looks.
Right.
It's about how those materials actually work together.
So that's what we're going to figure out in this deep dive, right?
Yeah, how to assess those products so you know whether they're good or not and why those best practices matter.
Yeah. And one thing that really jumps out from all these sources is that they are obsessed with material compatibility.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the most important thing, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like if you were building a house and you built it on, you know, unstable ground,
right.
You're going to have problems.
So what kind of problems are we talking about with overmolding if the materials aren't compatible?
Well, I mean, you know, the sources mentioned discoloration,
okay.
weakness, warping,
nah.
cracking. One source actually used this great analogy. It's like the materials are having a breakup, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's not pretty.
No.
And one of the experts even shared a story about this project where they were using a silicone with a really high thermal expansion rate for a kitchen utensil.
Yeah.
And they overmolded it onto a rigid plastic handle that had a low expansion rate.
Okay.
And so what happened?
Oh, no.
The bond just cracked during the first use when it was put in a hot pan.
I see. Because of that difference in the expansion.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, for those who don't know, thermal expansion is just how much a material will expand or contract when the temperature changes.
Okay.
So if you have materials that have drastically different rates.
Yeah.
Like in that spatula, it's like they're always fighting against each other.
Yeah.
And it just puts so much stress on that bond.
Like trying to fit different size puzzle pieces together.
Yeah.
Someone's got to give.
Exactly.
So this knowledge is super important, even if we're not the ones manufacturing stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is all about empowering you to ask the right questions about the products you use.
Okay.
You know, like looking beyond just the marketing and thinking about the materials.
Yeah.
Are they truly compatible?
Right.
Have they actually been tested properly?
Mm-hmm.
It just helps you make a much better choice.
That's a really good point.
Okay.
All right. So moving on, surface prep. Another thing that pops up a lot in these sources is they say you can't just wipe it off and hope for the best.
No, no, no.
What do they mean?
Well, I mean, one of the sources had this perfect analogy. They said that surface prep is like laying the foundation of a house. If you cut corners, the whole structure is going to be compromised.
So what are the building blocks? How do you actually prep the surface for overmolding?
Well, it can get pretty high tech. They talk about chemical etching.
Okay.
You use chemicals to create this rougher surface for better adhesion.
I see.
It's like giving the material these tiny little teeth for the overmolding to grab onto.
Interesting. And what about if you need a smooth surface?
Well, then you might do some mechanical grinding.
Okay.
It's all about getting this perfectly smooth, level surface.
Oh, I see.
So you've got even contact between the materials.
So it's like prepping a canvas for a masterpiece. You need the right surface for the art to shine.
Exactly. And just like, you know, if you have a poorly prepped canvas, the paint's going to flake off.
Right.
So in overmolding, if you don't do the surface prep right, you're going to have peeling and delamination.
Delamination, that's when the layers separate.
Right. It's like, it's like when those layers just kind of drift apart like a broken friendship.
So that's why they're so obsessed with surface prep in these sources.
Yeah.
It's not just about how it looks.
It really impacts the longevity of the product.
Okay. So we've got our compatible materials.
Right.
Surfaces are prepped.
Check.
How do we get those materials to bond together?
That's where the process itself comes in.
Okay.
And the process parameters, they're like the conductor of the overmolding orchestra, you know?
All right, break it down for me.
All right, so you've got temperature.
Okay.
Pressure, speed. If the temperature's too high, you can actually degrade the materials.
Okay.
It's like burning a cake.
Right.
But if it's too low, the materials might not flow properly and they won't bond.
So it's all about finding that sweet spot.
It is.
Like baking.
And actually, one of the experts talked about this aha moment he had when he was working on a project.
Yeah.
He was adjusting the injection temperature. And all of a sudden, the two materials just blended perfectly.
Wow.
And the bond strength just shot up.
It's like finding that missing puzzle piece.
It is.
Okay, what about pressure?
Well, if you don't have enough pressure, you might not get complete filling.
Okay.
So you end up with these gaps and weak spots.
Right.
But if there's too much pressure, you can damage the mold or distort the part.
So it's a balancing act.
It is.
Okay, and what about speed?
Well, speed affects how those materials flow and cool.
Okay.
If you inject too quickly, you can get air bubbles trapped inside.
Ah.
But if you go too slow, the materials might start to cool and solidify before they've fully bonded.
So it's like a carefully choreographed dance.
Exactly.
Everything's got to be in sync.
And there was this really interesting example in one of the sources.
Oh, yeah.
This company was having trouble with delamination in their product.
Okay.
And they were troubleshooting. Finally, they figured out that the cooling time was just too short.
The materials
weren't bonding properly.
I see.
So they adjusted the process parameters, gave it a longer cooling time.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
So it's all connected.
It is.
Yeah.
It's this intricate dance between all those different parameters.
Right. It makes you appreciate these overmolded products even more.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just materials in a mold. There's a whole orchestra back there.
It really is.
So understanding this process can help us as consumers.
Oh, absolutely.
To know what to look for.
Right.
To see the difference between a well-made product and one that's, you know,
exactly,
going to fall apart.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about the right materials, prepping the surface,
yeah,
getting those process parameters dialed in.
Right.
How do we know if all that effort paid off?
Uh-huh.
How do we actually assess the quality of the final product?
That's where we really become like overmolding detectives.
Okay.
We got to look beyond the surface and see how this thing performs under pressure.
So what are the signs of a good overmold? Like, how do we know if it's truly well made?
Well, the sources talk about a few key tests. One is tensile strength.
Okay.
Which is basically how much pulling force the material can handle before it breaks.
So like a tug of war.
Yeah, like how much can you pull on that bond before it snaps?
And they don't just like eyeball this.
Right. Oh, no, they have special machines that can actually measure this.
Okay.
They apply force to a sample until it breaks. And they measure exactly how much force it took.
So a higher tensile strength means a stronger bond?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's important for like handles and straps.
Anything that's going to experience pulling or stretching.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What about parts that need to bend without breaking?
Well, for that, we have flexural strength.
Okay.
And that measures how much a material can resist bending.
Okay.
So think about those flexible phone cases.
Yeah.
Or bendy straws.
Yeah.
They need to be able to flex repeatedly without cracking.
Right.
So to test that,
yeah,
they'll basically apply a load to the center of the sample.
Okay.
Make it bend. And they see how much force it takes to either break it or bend it to a certain point.
So higher flexural strength means it's tougher to bend or break it.
Exactly.
What about for things that, you know, might get dropped or knocked around?
For that, we have impact resistance.
Yeah.
Which measures how well a material can absorb that impact energy without cracking.
Yeah.
Like you drop your phone.
Right.
You want a case that's going to protect it.
Absorb that shock.
Exactly.
How do they test that?
Well, there are a couple tests, like the CHARPY or the IZOD impact test.
Okay.
Basically, they take a sample and they hit it with a pendulum or a hammer.
Oh, wow.
And then they measure how much energy the material absorbed before it broke.
So it's like a mini crash test for materials.
It really is.
So the more energy it absorbs, the higher the impact resistance.
Exactly.
That's cool.
It is. And, you know, all these tests,
yeah,
they're really all about making sure the product's going to hold up.
Right.
In the real world.
It's not just about looking pretty.
No, it's got to perform.
Okay, so bringing it back to that bond between the overmolded materials.
Right.
We need to make sure it's strong enough to handle all those forces.
Oh, yeah. A strong bond is like the foundation.
Yeah.
It keeps those layers from separating or cracking.
Right. One of the sources even compared it to like a strong friendship.
Uh-huh. You want those bonds to last.
I like that analogy.
Right.
So how do they test the bond strength?
Well, there are a few different ways. Some are destructive, some are non-destructive.
Uh-huh.
One of the common destructive ones is the peel test.
Okay.
Where they literally just peel the layers apart and see how much force it took.
So it's kind of brutal.
It is.
What about the non-destructive tests?
Well, one example is ultrasonic testing.
Okay.
Where they use high frequency sound waves.
Wow.
To detect any little voids or imperfections in the bond.
So like sonar, but for the bond.
Yeah, they can peek inside without actually tearing it apart.
That's really cool. It makes you realize there's a lot of science and engineering.
Oh, tons.
Behind these everyday products.
Yeah, and understanding that science can really help you
As a consumer.
make better decisions about what to buy.
Right. Speaking of making good products,
Yeah.
one thing that comes up a lot in the sources is dimensional control.
Yeah.
What is that and why is it so important?
Well, dimensional control is all about making sure the final product is the right size and shape.
Okay.
It's about precision, making
Gotta.
sure everything lines up perfectly.
No.
No warping, shrinking, distorting.
So it's not just about the materials bonding.
Right.
It's about how those materials are molded and hold their shape.
Exactly. And it starts with the mold itself. It
Okay.
has to be designed and manufactured to incredibly tight tolerances.
So there's not much room for error.
Not at all. One source talked about tolerance management,
Yeah.
which means they're keeping track of those tiny measurements throughout the entire process.
Wow.
Even a tiny deviation can cause problems.
So what about shrinkage? I know materials expand and contract with temperature,
Right.
but do they actually shrink after they're molded?
They do. Most materials will shrink a little bit as they cool down.
Okay.
And if you don't account for that, you might end up with parts that are too small
Yeah.
or have weird shapes.
Like a cake that fell in the middle.
Exactly.
No, not a good look.
So in overmolding, you have to be really careful about the shrinkage rates of both materials,
Right.
and you adjust the mold design accordingly.
So it sounds like there's a lot that can go wrong
Oh, there is.
if you don't know what you're doing.
And that's why they really emphasize experience and expertise in all these sources.
Okay.
It's not just following a recipe.
Right.
You got to understand the materials and the process.
So if we're those overmolding detectives,
Yeah.
we're not just looking for clues, we're looking for signs of experience.
Exactly. And those signs can be subtle, but they're there.
Like what?
Well, one of the experts talked about looking at the edges,
Okay.
how the overmolding meets the substrate.
Right.
If the edges are nice and smooth and seamless,
Yeah.
that shows attention to detail.
Okay.
A well-executed edge is much less likely to peel or crack.
So it's a small detail,
Right.
but it speaks volumes.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got our dimensional control checklist now. Mold design, tolerance management, shrinkage, edge treatment. What else should we look for when we're assessing the quality of an overmolded product?
One of the biggest things is quality control.
Okay.
And it's not just a final check. It's
Right.
got to be woven throughout the entire process.
So it's about preventing defects.
Yeah, not just catching them at the end.
Right.
And that takes a lot.
Yeah.
Rigorous testing at each stage, really good documentation,
Okay.
and a real culture of continuous improvement.
So you're constantly striving to do better.
Yeah, one expert actually said
Yeah.
it's not enough to have one good product.
Right.
They all have to meet that same standard.
So consistency is key.
It is.
Like a chef tasting their dish as they go.
Exactly.
So in overmolding, what does that look like? Like, how do you ensure that consistency?
Well, you got to keep an eye on those process parameters we talked about.
Right.
You got to calibrate your equipment regularly
Okay.
and just really have a good eye for detail.
So if we're those overmolding detectives again,
Yeah.
we're not just looking for a well-made product.
Right.
We're looking for signs that the manufacturer actually cares about quality
Exactly.
throughout the whole process.
Yeah, and that goes beyond just how well it functions.
Okay.
Appearance quality matters too.
Yeah, because it could be strong but ugly.
Exactly. So those quality control checks are making sure the color is consistent,
Okay.
the finish is nice and smooth, there aren't any blemishes or anything.
That performs well and looks good.
Exactly. And that's something you as a consumer can really look at.
Yeah.
Check the color, the finish.
See if it's well made.
Exactly. Like you're appreciating a nice piece of furniture.
Right. It's about recognizing the craftsmanship. Well, we've covered a lot in this deep dive.
We have.
Materials, surface prep, process parameters, testing, quality control.
It's amazing how much goes into it, right?
It really is. These overmolded products are everywhere.
They are.
And now we know what to look for.
You do.
So where do we go from here? What are some of the big questions that are still out there about overmolding?
Well, one thing that I find really interesting is
Yeah.
how 3D printing is going to affect things.
Pretty printing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine creating these super complex, overmolded designs
Wow.
with incredible precision.
That would be a game changer.
It would, but it also brings new challenges for quality control.
Oh, right, because how do you test something that complex? So it's like a
Exactly.
whole new era for overmolding.
It is.
Lots of possibilities and lots of challenges.
Absolutely. That's what makes this field so exciting.
Well, on that note, I want to encourage all of you listening
Yeah.
to keep exploring this world of overmolding.
Keep learning.
Read those manufacturing guides.
Yeah.
Look into those new technologies.
Ask questions.
Never stop learning.
Knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And with that, we bid you farewell, fellow knowledge seekers.
Until next time.
Keep diving deep.